Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
PolitiFact just ran a story regarding whether or not one of the presidential contenders is right with respect to whether or not court orders are the final arbiter of what the Constitution says. And in this article, it says that the allegation that they are not is mostly false. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this issue. Matt, this is a major issue with regards to what is the final rule of law? What is the rule of law? What is the final arbiter of the Constitution? The Constitution does not give any one of the branches of government the final authority over the constitutionality of any particular law. It doesn't give it to the executive, it doesn't give it to the legislature, and it certainly doesn't give it to the judiciary. That may surprise people, it may shock people, but ultimately what happened historically is the Supreme Court itself said itself that it is the final arbiter of what is constitutional. And therefore, a law by the legislature that may be agreed to by the executive, enforced by the executive, can ultimately be overruled by the United States Supreme Court. And that's just simply coming from the court itself. It does not reside, there is no section in the Constitution that gives the Supreme Court that final singular authority over what is constitutional. What has happened is we've just grown up over time with the Marbury versus Madison decision, which is where this judicial rule or authority comes from, where the Supreme Court has the authority, they say, to say what the law is, and we've just simply accepted it. The problem is, when does this ultimately go too far? When does it come to a point where the other branches of government have a say in whether it's constitutional, especially when the Supreme Court goes so far off the constitutional path?
Well, that's right, Matt. And as you know, Congress actually establishes what powers the Supreme Court have and what cases it can have authority over and so forth. That's provided for in Congress. Federalist number 51 says, quote, the legislative authority necessarily predominates. The founding fathers were clear in their writings throughout that the judicial branch of government was effectively the weakest branch of government. They say three co-equal branches of government. Well, at the very least, co-equal does not suppose that the Supreme Court would have precedent and control over all the other two branches of government. If that were the case, Matt, we would be ruled by a judiciocracy, effectively an oligarchy, nine black-robed autocrats who would, you know, run the country. We don't need a legislature. We don't need a president, an executive branch of government, if we're ruled by nine black-robed kings. And the idea of judicial supremacy says that that's the case, that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter, that they say what is the law. That's judicial activism. It's become judicial tyranny over the years, and it's a bunch of black-robed guys ruling from the bench.
Yeah, in fact, what we ultimately see, too, is that this idea of judicial supremacy hasn't always been something that the founders believed in. There may be some that thought that that was the way it should be. Certainly Thomas Jefferson wasn't of that opinion. Thomas Jefferson felt that there were three coordinate branches of government. Each had an independent duty to interpret the Constitution. And so in one particular situation, with respect to the Libel and Sedition Act of 1789, this was a law supported by John Adams, he refused to enforce it because he felt it was unconstitutional. And in reality, it was unconstitutional. Now, that caused a lot of stir with Abigail Adams, who was very upset with Thomas Jefferson when he was president for not enforcing a law that her husband ultimately endorsed. And he wrote back to her about that. And then also he says the idea with regards to the judiciary, that the judiciary is the sole arbiter of what is constitutional, would ultimately turn us into a despotic branch of government. that there is no single tribunal, certainly not the judiciary, that has that authority. And he says, what gave you the idea that the judiciary has that kind of authority? In fact, if they did, we would become a despotic government ruled by a single branch of government. This was Thomas Jefferson. He obviously knew what the Constitution said back then, and also Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln disagreed with the Dred Scott decision. We can talk a little bit more about that as well. Andrew Jackson, later in history, also did not believe in this idea of judicial supremacy.
Yeah, but, you know, the idea of this living, breathing model of the Constitution, that the Constitution is just kind of whatever the whims of the day are, that's what the Constitution is. You know, it's total relativism, and we have at least four United States Supreme Court justices right now who basically just are activists from the bench, legislate from the bench, and say that the Constitution is whatever they say it is. That's why we have these checks and balances. That's why we have a separation of powers. And this idea comes from people like former Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes, Matt, 1930 to 1941. He was the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He said, quote, "We are under a Constitution, but the Constitution is what the judges say it is." Well, if that's the case, Matt, then the Constitution is nothing at all. If the Constitution is whatever they say it is, then the Constitution is meaningless. That is not what our founding fathers intended. But unfortunately, under this notion of judicial supremacy, that's where we are today.
Yeah, and there's a mechanism that the Constitution actually established for adding amendments or changes to the Constitution, and that's the amendment process. And that has happened a number of times where the people have amended the Constitution. In fact, it happened on Prohibition, where we went one way and then we repealed it. And it's happened in other areas as well, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment. All these amendments are done by the people, not by judges. If judges have the sole authority to say what the Constitution is, we have no Constitution. And consequently, when the judges go so far off the constitutional path, when they cut the tether that should tie them to the Constitution, the question is, do the other branches of government have to follow that decision? Well, let me ask you this. Let's just look at a couple of decisions. Was the Supreme Court right when it ultimately upheld the fact that the government could forcibly intern individuals because they are Asian descent, put them in behind a barbed wire, and just keep them there without any discussion of their due process or their liberty? Was the Supreme Court right when it said that the government, the states, can forcibly deprive individual of their ability to procreate and sterilize them because they had previous generations of low IQ? And was the government right that Dred Scott did not have rights of citizenship because he was black? And as the racist Justice Taney said, he believed that blacks were inferior human beings, or some people felt that they were inferior human beings, and therefore you're not entitled to full citizenship? Absolutely no. No one would defend that now. But back then, should the executive have defended it? No. And in fact, Lincoln ultimately objected to the Supreme Court nonsense back then with regards to the Dred Scott decision.
Well, and in the notion of judicial supremacy, it's a paper tiger, Matt, as President Andrew Jackson, you mentioned. He reportedly said of one Supreme Court justice ruling at the time, Chief Justice John Marshall, he said, "John Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it." The point being that the Supreme Court, you know, the legislature, the executive bow all too often to this idea of judicial supremacy. They don't have a bevy of armed clerks that they're going to send out to enforce their decisions like Dred Scott or Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, in fact, if you go back to the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said the only authority the Supreme Court has is in the confidence of the people. They don't have the ability, except for limited courts, to enforce their own orders. So the other branches of government, I believe, do have the independent obligation, and the Supreme Court is not the final ultimate arbiter of all that is constitutional, especially when they cut the tether that ties them to the Constitution. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, order the book that I wrote called Judicial Tyranny. In that book, we talk about this very issue. what is the role of the judiciary and how can you rein in the judiciary? Matt Barber talked about one way, and that is the Congress has the authority to limit jurisdiction. But the other way is when the Supreme Court goes so far off the beaten path, do the other branches of government just simply need to bow down to the altar of the Supreme Court? Well, if the Supreme Court gave the Dred Scott decision today, would you agree that we should just follow it? If they gave the Buck versus Bell decision today, would you agree that they should just simply be followed? And we're going to have to address that question when it comes up with the same-sex marriage issue. If the Supreme Court goes the wrong way and ultimately says that what God created doesn't really matter, we're going to have a different idea. I think they've so far crossed the line that they've lost their legitimate authority. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.